This is Church Alive's Teaching of the Week by Pastor Gene Amoson. For additional teachings or information about the church, go to churchalive.net.
Before we go any further, let's just take this moment, because we can all admit that probably the last week or so has just been so hectic, and we're getting into probably the next 48, 72 hours going to be super hectic, right? Can we right now just focus all of our attention on Him? Come on, Pastor Nolan, start to bring that back. Come on, just thank Him for what He's done in your life. Father, You're holy.
Are You Lord God?
Been so good, God.
Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Holy. Holy.
Lord, You deserve all of the honor.
Are You Lord God Almighty? Worthy is the Lamb.
Give Him all the praise that He deserves tonight. Come on. Father, we love You. God, we thank You. Lord, we love You so much. Father, You're worthy of all of our praise, all of our attention. We love You, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Come on, turn to your neighbor. Say, Merry Christmas. Say, it's good to see you in church tonight. Hey, y'all take your seat. It's so great to be with you tonight. Can y'all give our worship team just a big God bless tonight? They do such a good job, don't they? We are blessed to have them here at Church Alive. How many of y'all are excited to be in the house of God tonight? Amen. Well, let me tell you, y'all a good-looking crew. Y'all are a good-looking crew. If we've not met, I'm Pastor Gene Amoson, and if this is your first time at Church Alive with us for our Christmas service, welcome. It is so good to have you with us. It's an honor for us that you're here with us tonight. And again, if I hadn't had a chance to say hey to you, hopefully we'll get to meet after service. But I'm excited about what God's doing here at Church Alive. I'm excited about this service. And are y'all ready to get into the Word tonight?
Amen.
Amen. We got a lot to cover. So hey, we're going to go to Luke 2 tonight. We're going to start in verse 1, of course. If you don't have your Word with you tonight, we're going to have it on the screen so you can follow along on the screen. Verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was when the angel had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. You know, I believe if there was ever a moment whenever heaven was kind of standing over and leaning over the rails, checking out what was going on down on earth, I think it was probably that first Christmas night. I mean, let's just think about what was happening. You've got yourself a young couple. They're dusty. They are road weary. They've been traveling. You've got Mary, who's roughly 13, maybe 14 years old, who's about to have a baby. You've got Joseph, her husband, who's doing everything he can to make her comfy because they were not able to find a hotel room, so he's probably feeling pretty guilty about that. And so ultimately, there's no doctors, there's no nurses, nothing like we experience in the hospital here whenever someone goes to have a child. But instead, they're surrounded by animals who probably wish that they would end up finding a hotel room, right? Because they're kind of cramping their style. And so that's what they're experiencing. But in that setting that night, there was no fanfare whatsoever. But I believe heaven erupted, hear me, whenever hope entered the world through the cries of a newborn king. Amen. I love the Christmas story. I love reading about the shepherds and the angelic visitation that they had. I love reading about the wise men who later showed up with gifts that were very symbolic. I absolutely love the Christmas story. But hear me, the truth is this, is that Jesus that night didn't come into a peaceful world. He came into a world that was ultimately kind of messed up, that was desperate for him, much like our world today, full of brokenness, full of chaos, and full of questions. But 700 years before Jesus ever came into the world, the prophet Isaiah spoke something about him. Now, just for the record, Isaiah said a lot of things about Jesus, but something that he said was ultimately what kind of Savior that God was sending for us. And he describes someone that we desperately need today. It says this in chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You know, those four titles, they're not like just poetic fluff, right? Those four titles were what God was saying through the prophet that all of us need in our life. That's what was happening right there. It's what our family needs. It's what our marriage needs. Y'all, it's what our nation needs right now. Amen? And so I want us to quickly look at those four titles that Isaiah gives Jesus. And again, this comes from God. He was writing what the Lord gave him. And I want us to look at what those titles mean to us. And so he begins by saying he's our wonderful counselor. He's our wonderful counselor. Now, I got to ask you a question today. Have any of y'all ever made a bad decision and you regretted it like almost instantly? Has anybody ever been there before? Okay, there's a bunch of liars in here. But, okay, I mean, maybe you bought something and you woke up the next morning, you're like, man, you know, buyer's remorse. Maybe you quit a job the next day, you started a new job and you thought to yourself, I should have never left that old job. Maybe you said, I'm going to get Taco Bell for dinner, and the next morning, you regretted it, right? Every one of us have been there. Come on, somebody. We've all regretted that at some point in our life. But here's the thing. In the world that we live in, it's starving for wisdom. But in our world, there's so many opinions. But we need a lot more wisdom, right? And we have advice flying everywhere, whether it's social media, whether it's podcasts, whether it's influencers. That's a new thing, apparently. We were watching a show with our kids one time. They like to watch that Lego Master show, and they had some influencers on there. I said, what does that even mean? And after researching a lot of influencers, many of them have never had a job, never been married, don't really have life experiences, but they're here to influence us. They sound like they really qualify for that job, don't they? But you've got all these opinions that are out there. But here's the thing. Jesus is not just a counselor. He's our wonderful counselor. Our wonderful counselor. And that word wonderful actually means beyond human explanation. Beyond human explanation. He sees what we can't see. He understands what we can't understand. And Isaiah, just so you know, he wasn't confused whenever he called Jesus our wonderful counselor, because you may be thinking to yourself, but Gene, what about the person of the Holy Spirit? Because we hear that counselor is one of his names. Here's what he was saying. He was saying the Messiah himself would carry the wisdom of God. And later Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit would come to guide us in truth, not as a different voice, but as the voice of Christ living within us. And that's good news, isn't it? The same Jesus who counseled people face to face now counsels us through his Spirit. So he's our wonderful counselor. He knows the pain and struggles that we deal with that a lot of times we can't even describe, that pain that we sometimes deal with. It's very interesting. In Hebrews 4:15, it says that he understands our weaknesses and he dealt with all the same kind of temptations that we have dealt with in life. You see, he dealt with them while he was walking the earth. Now, of course, it also goes on to say that in the process of those temptations, he never sinned, right? Because he's Jesus, he's perfect. But he knows what we walk through. And so his position as our wonderful counselor means that we can trust him to listen. We can take our problems to him. And he can point us in the right direction. Aren't you glad for that? Whenever life doesn't make sense, here's what's some great news. He can guide us. He can guide us. Whenever you're walking in this Christmas season, you feel like maybe you've got some confusion going on, you don't know what to do, whenever you're maybe frustrated, or you've got some big decisions to make, and you just don't know which way to go. He's the one that you can go to, and he can give you not just advice, but divine direction. Divine direction. And here's the best part. He never gets it wrong. Right? You can ask your friend. There's a real good chance that they're not going to get it right, but he never gets it wrong. Next, Isaiah says this. He says, he's our mighty God. Unto us a child is born, not to angels, not to kings, but y'all to us. Somebody say to us. But this wasn't just another baby. Isaiah says he's a mighty God. Mighty God, not a kind of strong God, but no, he's a mighty God. He's a mighty God. Isaiah had no hesitation applying a God-only title to the coming Messiah. He isn't saying the child will just be a great leader. He's saying he's divine. That's what Isaiah is saying. I mean, it's our God, our mighty God. He's the one who holds the galaxies together. And some of us need his power because right now we're running on fumes. Can any of us just get real today? Because I'll go ahead and tell you right now, Regina and I feel like we've been shot out of a cannon lately. Whenever we feel that way, whenever we feel like we're running on fumes, whenever we feel like we've had curveballs thrown at us maybe throughout this year, whenever we're walking around and carrying burdens that we feel like are too heavy to bear, maybe you're walking through grief or some kind of sickness right now. Maybe you've got some financial strain in your life or some kind of spiritual battle. Here's what I want you to know. He is mighty enough to save you. I want you to know he's mighty enough to sustain you, to heal you, to deliver you. That's our God. That's our mighty God. He's mighty enough to restore you as well and to pull you out of whatever it is that you're in right now. He's our mighty God. He's our mighty God. The same power that split the sea, the same power that shut the mouths of the lions, the same power that raised the dead, listen to me, is available to you. And I want you to know something. That power is in Jesus. That power is in Jesus. And we need him because so many times just what we have going on in our life, you know, our problems, they overwhelm us. But we got to understand he's bigger than any problem that we've ever dealt with in our life. Philippians 2:10, it's one of my favorite verses. It says, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Every knee will bow. Now, if you go a verse before that, it says that God's given him a name above every name. Now, that's good news for all of us. Because you see, some of y'all, you can put a name on it, whatever it is that you're dealing with right now. So maybe you've got something in your life and you say, well, the diagnosis is cancer. The diagnosis is heart disease. The good news is this, it bows to the name of Jesus. His name is higher than whatever it is that you're dealing with. It doesn't matter what it is. It has to bow to the name of Jesus. So he's our mighty God. Next, Isaiah says he's our everlasting Father. He's our everlasting Father. Now, this might, you know, kind of make you scratch your head just a little bit because you're thinking, okay, hold on. Jesus was born. He's small. He's a baby. How is he an everlasting Father? It says the child is born. He's our everlasting Father. Whenever Isaiah calls Jesus our everlasting Father, he's not saying that Jesus is God the Father. He's not messing with the Trinity. Not that whatsoever. Here's what he's saying. He's saying that Jesus relates to us with the faithful, protective love of a father. And unlike earthly fathers, here's the great news, his care never ends. Hear me, his care never ends. Now, some of y'all are in the same boat that I'm in. I lost my father about a decade ago. I miss the hugs. I miss the calls to say I love you. I miss a lot of things like that. That season of my life has ended having an earthly father, but this father, it never ends. We always have that care. It just never ends. We always have that love. It's protective. It's compassionate. Y'all, it's steady, and it's faithful as well. I know for some, the word father brings comfort. Maybe for some others, whenever you mention a father, it brings pain based on your situation. But he's our everlasting Father. Jesus is. He's eternal. He's unchanging. He's always present. He's always caring. He's always loving. That's our everlasting Father. Here's some good news for you. He doesn't love you less whenever you're having a bad day. He doesn't love you less whenever you really mess it up. He doesn't withdraw from you even whenever you withdraw from him. He's constant. He's always there for you. Everything you ever wanted in a father, everything you ever needed in a father, that's exactly who he is. And we need him. Here's the truth. Every heart in this room longs to be securely loved. Every heart. It doesn't matter if you're a man, a woman, it doesn't matter how tough you are. Every heart desires to be securely loved. And Jesus says, you're mine. You are mine. You'll always have a place with me. He's our everlasting Father. Amen. Number four, Isaiah says that he's our Prince of Peace. He's our Prince of Peace. Now, if there was ever a time that we needed peace, it's probably right now, isn't it? I don't know about y'all, but it seems like every day, it seems like the world gets a little bit crazier, does it not? And obviously around this time of year, it can be a little bit stressful as well, but we all need peace in our life. The world needs peace. We have so much noise everywhere, and people right now feel probably overwhelmed more than ever. More than ever. But Jesus is the Prince of Peace, the one who rules over peace, who gives peace, who carries peace, and who speaks peace into whatever storms that we face. But let me just ask you this. I mean, don't we all feel that Christmas should be peaceful? Right? How many of y'all can honestly say, oh, it's just been smooth as silk? Okay, how many of y'all can maybe say, and I'm not going to have you lift your hand, how many of y'all can maybe say, and you can just answer to yourself, I just kind of wish we could get past it. All right, we'll pray for you later. I think a lot of us sometimes that whenever all the hustle and bustle happens, we almost get to a place of dreading it, right? Like we just need to get past it because let's just be honest, it's supposed to be peaceful, but it's easy to dread due to the spending, right? Due to the wrapping, due to the cleaning, due to the driving, due to the scheduling. It can get to where you dread it, maybe during all the family group texts, buying for people who don't want anything, Christmas music overload, kids who refuse to smile for pictures. That's a blessing, isn't it? It can be something that you dread whenever you're cooking for relatives who now have all of a sudden become very picky with what they eat because they are now paleo, they are now primal, they are now Whole 30, they are keto, carnivore, vegan, low carb, high carb, sugar free, gluten free, dairy free, making most of them joy free. And we're going through all this while we sing Peace on Earth too. But hear me though, the peace of Jesus, the peace that Jesus gives, it's not the same peace that the world tries to give. It's not. His peace lives inside of you. If you ask, he can calm your anxious thoughts. If you ask him for his peace, he can settle what the enemy has been trying to unsettle in your life. He brings peace into the places that have been absolutely chaotic. We need him because apart from him, there is no peace. We need him in our lives. He's our Prince of Peace. Now, I want us to think about something just for a minute. Isaiah didn't say, unto the world a child is born, even though that's true. He didn't say that. He said, unto us a child is born. You know, that's really important, I think, because it makes it personal. It makes it intimate. It's God saying to every one of us, I see you, I know you, and I love you. It's what he's saying. And this Christmas, we celebrate more than just a baby in a manger, y'all. We celebrate our Savior, our wonderful counselor who's there whenever we don't know what to do. Our mighty God, whenever we're in the midst of a battle, our everlasting Father who is steady and faithful, and our Prince of Peace who calms our storms. He is everything we need. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Church Alive Teaching of the Week with Pastor Gene Amoson. We invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service every Sunday at 8:45 or 10:30. Learn more at churchalive.net.